I'm doing more than you think. And B, I promise you, if I was out there every day, you'd be tired of me.
The post-presidency of Barack Obama, next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
Heights for Public Radio is back. Join Radio Catskill Sunday, May 17th from 2 to 4 at the Common Good on Canal Street in Ellenville, right after the Ellenville Run Like the Wind 5K. Drink beer, support public radio. It's that simple. Pints for Public Radio, Sunday, May 17th, 2 to 4 in Ellenville. Admission is free. Cheers! Sign up for Radio Catskill's free weekly newsletter. Get the latest local news, culture, and things to do in your inbox every Friday. Stay connected and informed with Radio Catskill's newsletter. Subscribe at wjffradio.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg. You know, each week I introduce you to fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond. And this week is no exception because Monticello, New York's own Crystal Tweed will be joining me. Yay! You may have heard my conversation with Slam Allen, who's another Monticello lifelong resident. And he first told me of the incredible music education he received in the Monticello public schools. You may have also tuned in when I spoke with the actor Stuart Zagnit about what it means to be a successful working actor who's not a household name. Crystal Tweed also got a fabulous musical education in the Monticello Public Schools, and she is a working actor, and she's going to take us on a different journey to finding great joy in her skills, especially locally. Here we go. Crystal, welcome to Catskill Character. I am so thrilled to have you on today.
Donna, thank you so much for having me.
You were born in Liberty, New York, but you moved to Monticello when you were 10. What was it like growing up there?
It was great. I grew up with three siblings. So there were four of us, two boys, two girls, and we were always creating or building or drawing. My two older brothers are artists. So I think just collectively in the family, we, you know, have this creativity about us, but it was great. We had a blast.
How far apart are the siblings?
So my two brothers are, I think, 51 and 52. They're only 11 months apart. Yeah. And then me and my sister are 2 years, 2 months and 20 days apart.
Okay.
And that's, I know that's very specific.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know this when I first contacted you, but you are a musician. How did that get started?
I don't know how I got into music in itself. Going to school in Liberty Elementary School, you know, we learn typical music theory that you do. We learn how to play the recorder. And somehow I became interested in the violin. Pat Lubin was my very first violin teacher. I started when I was 9 years old. So I grew up playing classical violin.
Do you remember like the first violin piece you heard?
I don't remember the first piece I heard, but I do remember the first piece I learned. Probably most people that play the violin was called Mississippi Hot Dog. Other people probably call it something else. But I think when I picked it up, there was just this connection and I fell in love with the instrument. And I played for many years, even when we moved to Monticello. We made sure that, you know, I got right into the middle school, playing in the elementary school and then the middle school. And throughout high school and even longer than that.
Yeah, you know, in the introduction, I talked about how Slam Allen is the first person who told me about this incredible musical experience he had in the Monticello Public Schools. I can't believe that you actually had an orchestra.
Monticello is one of the top schools in the state for music.
Well, it has been
since I was in high school, and I'm, you know, going to be 50 in a few years. So they always have phenomenal instructors, teachers, and just who just pull you in. And when they know you have this love for music, they really just embrace that. You know, going through high school, playing the violin, I had my lessons, you know, a couple times a week. I was in the practice room more times than I should have been when I should have been in other classes. But it was just like another community playing instruments or singing in the orchestra or band or in the chorus. And it was really something special.
So tell me about the musical opportunities in Monticello.
When I was in high school, I played in the orchestra year round. I was first chair my senior year of high school, which was very, very important. It was such an honor for me. And even with, you know, guitarists and violinists, we weren't in the same, we didn't play in the same orchestra, but we would get together in the practice rooms and we would just collaborate and play. I also played in the pit orchestra for Damn Yankees. And I still have the music, which you're supposed to erase your book and return it when you're done. And I still have it. And I remember posting about it on Facebook and someone was like, "You were probably supposed to return that before you graduated," but I didn't, and I still have it. So,
oh, that's wonderful. I was thinking that your mom must have had a lot of faith in your playing because she made sure that you had your own violin, and that had to be really important. Did that change things for you?
It did. That was another special moment for me. Throughout middle school and high school, we just rented instruments, either rented or the school just lent you one for you to care for. And when I returned that instrument, I was going off to college. I needed one of my own. We found a listing in the Catskill Shopper. I know a lot of listeners will remember the Catskill Shopper, which I also have another connection to the Catskill Shopper that I'll touch on later. But there was some guy selling a violin. So me and my mom went to go see it and we bought the violin, Donna, for $25.
No.
$25.
And you must have cherished that violin.
I did. It was on the older side, but I wasn't playing in like an organized chorus, but somehow, some way I found a jazz band in college and I started hanging out with the jazz band and playing with them. It was just really amazing to have that instrument and be able to take it with me.
You went to Genesee Community College, which is part of the SUNY system.
Yes.
And you continued to play the violin there. Now, were you majoring in music?
No, I majored in liberal arts. But I just didn't want to let that part of me fall by the wayside. I really loved the violin and I wanted to continue playing.
Yeah, let's face it. The way you were just talking before about you would be in the rehearsal studio playing when you should have been in class. Now, that's a person who's dedicated. I think of all the kids that, you know, their parents have to prod them to practice. But oh, no, that was not the case with you. You
that
were
was not the case.
A born musician. It was
yes,
in your
my
soul.
There was never a time where my mom had to push me to practice.
You sang as well, right?
I didn't sing in the chorus, but I sang in the church choir growing up. That was another wonderful experience. And I just continued to sing. I still sing in church every Sunday. And then there was also a time where I played violin in church.
Well, not for nothing, as we like to say in New Jersey. You can act, you can sing. And you play the violin. I mean, come on. That's quite a triple threat.
It's really just a blessing to have. And then during the pandemic, I don't know why, I started listening to bluegrass music and folk music, just driving around in the car. And I said, I think I want to learn to play the ukulele. So I did.
Wow.
So I did. So now I'm playing the ukulele in church.
Oh, that's fantastic. When you graduated from college, we would say, okay, well, she found some kind of a music gig or whatever. No, you went home and you worked in your family business and you got a lot of practical experience there, which is never wasted. I'm sure some of the listeners will be familiar with your family business.
My parents have owned a driving school since 1994. Still in business. And when I graduated from college, it was a mixture of unsurety and just this, I can go into this and learn some trades. And then I could sort of go into something else that I wanted to. Also, it afforded me the privilege to gig if I wanted to.
When you were there, you did a number of things. You did office work. But then eventually you got out into the cars.
I did. I did. It was,
What was that like?
it was great to be able to teach someone who's just getting their permit, a novice driver, all the way until they are able to pass the road test and then they're out on their own. And I still run into a couple of people that I taught to drive.
I hope you don't run into them, literally.
Figuratively.
Okay. How do you find the acting jobs that you audition for?
One of the first ones I found for stage, I'm going to drop the name again, was in the Catskill Shopper. It was for Sullivan County Dramatic Workshop, and it was for a musical called The Third Violet.
And you remember that to this day. I mean, obviously, you hold it very close to your heart.
I do.
You were cast in some fantastic shows. Let's name a few.
Wow, I had such wonderful experiences at the Dramatic Workshop, and they gave me my first experience on stage. First, I did Hairspray and Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah,
A
Little
Raisin
Shop.
in the Sun came a little bit later, and A Raisin in the Sun was really the first production that challenged me as far as memorizing lines. Because when I was doing musicals, I mean, I sang all the time. So learning a song, I can do it in a matter of minutes. When you're trying to learn lines and then repeat them and recall them on stage, that's a little bit more of a challenge.
We're going to get into that in the second half of the show. After you got your SAG and your AFTRA cards, you started to get what you call co-star roles. What's the importance of that?
I had done years and years and years of background work. When I started doing background, I think the pay was maybe like $75 a day, and you were on set for hours. Hours. I think it was just the culmination of building relationships with other folks on set and also the casting directors because they knew me from being able to do background. I mean, I could follow directions and things like that. That's easy to do. But I remember one of them told me, Amy Hutchings, she's a casting director in the Hudson Valley, and she said, I saw something more in you, Crystal. So she had called me up one day and she said, there's this role I want you to audition for. It was my first co-star role, but you need your SAG-AFTRA card. What you need before you get your card is called Taft-Hartley waivers. You need three of them before you're eligible. So I had gotten my three waivers and I was just waiting because it was a significant amount of money that you have to pay into the union. So one day I said to my husband, I said, this is what Amy told me. And he goes, let's do it. So we drove into the city. June of 2017 is when I got my SAG card. And I ended up booking that role.
You did.
I
Okay,
did. I
good.
did.
And what about those educational videos?
Educational videos, and I don't recommend anyone go out and do this, but I was finding a lot of casting notices on Craigslist. It's so bizarre, so bizarre. And they were completely legitimate. And there was a company in Albany or Troy area, and this medical company, they did a lot of these training videos for nurses, for doctors, for even lawyers and paralegals. And once I connected with them and they said, okay, this girl's pretty good. She can memorize her lines. She's on time. So I just continued to book roles. And a lot of times it was like a direct casting. They would just reach out to me and say, hey, are you available for this? Send me the script. And then after doing those for several years, I was nicknamed the Queen of Educational Videos. So you might
That's
find me in one
great.
of your educational videos somewhere.
Hey, listen, if I ever have a traffic ticket, I'm calling you. I'm going to bring you to court with me. And nobody will know the difference.
No one will know the difference.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, Crystal, all
Great.
right? You've been listening to Crystal Tweed from Monticello, New York, talk about her journey to acting, which didn't begin until she was in her late 20s. We're taking a quick break here and we'll return with more of Crystal's story. I'm Donna Fehlenberg, host of Catskill Character, right here on Radio Catskill.
The stock market is hitting all-time highs despite the ongoing economic turbulence caused by the Iran war. Cognitive dissonance, anyone?
People are screaming that we are going to be running out of the supply we have. We're seeing airline companies cancel flights en masse. We're seeing energy rationing happening throughout parts of Asia.
The psychology of sticking your head in the sand on this week's On the Media from WNYC. This afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Radio Catskill, keeping New York voters connected. New York State's primary election is June 23rd. June 13th is the last day to register to vote in this election. The deadline to change your party enrollment for the primary has passed. Any registered voter may apply for an early mail ballot. The deadline to request a mail-in or absentee ballot in New York is June 13th. More info at elections.ny.gov. This is Radio Catskill.
This week on This American Life, Julia's neighbors terrorized her family for years. They shut out the lights in front of their house, burned obscenities into their lawn, and they had this lawyer.
And he said, "They're lying, Judge. They're all lying. Even the little girl, she's lying too."
And when Julia's family finally gets the upper hand, they have to decide how to use their power. Because like Spidey says, with great power, you know.
Tonight at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Catskill Character. I'm your host, Donna Fellenberg, with today's guest, Monticello, New York's own Crystal Tweed. From the age of 10, Crystal, who has been playing the violin since she was 9, grew up in Monticello, New York. She came to acting in her late 20s and has been successfully working as an actor, along with working in the family business. Now, she continues to act and also works in Tweed Gymnastics with her husband, Pedro. She is also the sports editor at the Sullivan County Democrat, which was founded in 1891. We're going to hear about that. This is a busy gal. Let's get back to it. Crystal, if we could just go back a little bit and talk about the importance of your Catskill Public Theater experience.
Catskill Public Theater came at such a great time for me. It was, I think, April of 2024. And I had done a couple of short scenes at a gala in Lake Huntington. And the owner who started Catskill Public Theater was there at the show. So there was a break in between, like an intermission. So I went off stage and I was talking to all my friends in the crowd. And he approached me, Marshall Schneider, and he said, "Hey, I have this thing coming up, these auditions. And I would like to, you know, like for you to audition." So that's how the connection with Catskill Public Theater came about. Marshall just happened to be sitting in the audience when I was acting in something else.
Wow. Mm-hmm. See, that's the whole idea about working locally. It's wonderful because you're going to get, you don't even know who you're going to get exposed to, right?
Oh, that was not even on my mind that evening.
Exactly. You're just trying to do your part. Trying to get
just
out
trying there. To memorize my lines and say them correctly.
Speaking of which, I said we'd get back to this. You had a 12-minute monologue in a play called Renegade, playing a military lawyer. There you are, a lawyer again. How do you memorize a lengthy speech like that?
Good old-fashioned repetition.
Okay.
The original play, Terror, was opened in June of 2024. The following season, they condensed it to Renegade. The original play, my closing summation, because I played a military lawyer, my closing summation was 12 minutes. And when I went to the audition, Marshall was kind of like back and forth as to which role he wanted me to play. And I was looking through the script. I'm like, oh, this part has a significant amount of lines. So I pressed him. I said, "You need to tell me which role I booked because I need to start memorizing this." So he did. I ended up booking the attorney role. And I just sort of break it down sentence by sentence. There are some sentences that have a flow, so they are easy to memorize, and I could do it very quickly. And before I know it, I have a paragraph memorized, two paragraph memorized. There are others that don't really have a flow, like people really don't speak that way. So that presents more of a challenge for me. But through constant repetition, also I do audio. So I'll record it in my voice recorder and I'll play it when I'm traveling places, like work, when I have a long trip to take. I'll just play it over and over in the car.
Yeah.
And my husband helps me, obviously, and he had to sit there for, I don't know, because it was 12 minutes once I got it down, but it was 15 minutes before I really learned it good. So he was just like, he was very supportive. So, but yeah, that's how I learned it. Just constant repetition and breaking the paragraphs down to see to find a flow.
You know what I was wondering, Crystal, being an actor and a musician, being a musician is very supportive, I would imagine, to that experience of breaking down a long speech like that, because there's a rhythm. You feel a rhythm, like maybe other actors who aren't musicians wouldn't necessarily get. Like you feel that rhythm, and that's how you kind of memorize it in stanzas almost.
Yes, that's a great way to put it. I'm still memorizing some stuff that of a play that I have later on in July and August. And today I was in the car, my husband was driving to Middletown, and I'm trying to, you know, read through some of it. And I said, you know, this is a bit more of a challenge because this is not the way people speak. It's a period piece. And so the language creates a bit of a challenge because it's not current. So
yeah.
So yeah, you have to find a way to make it flow like a stanza, like you say, like in music.
Well, we're talking about him, and I have to mention that during all this activity that was going on in your life, you raised two daughters,
yes.
And in 2008, you married Mr. Pedro Tweed, and now you're part of a different family business. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. So my husband is just very well known in the community as being Pete, the gymnastics guy, Pete, Coach Pete. And he co-founded the gymnastics program here in Monticello in 1977.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. So when we got married in 2008, I mean, I was just, you know, I was sort of just like pulled into that world. I was never a gymnast. I did not do that in my childhood, but here we are now running this business, and, you know, he continues to coach, and we have a staff of coaches, and, you know, it's very busy. We have recreational gymnastics for the little ones that are just learning up through sixth grade. And then we have a competition team that travels all over New York.
Oh, wow. It's fantastic. And you know what else is fantastic? I can see, and I think we mentioned it before, the two of you are so supportive of each other. And that's just, I would say, that's how the Tweeds roll, right?
That is how the Tweeds roll.
That's how they roll, man.
Yeah.
So aside from your acting gigs and your participation in Tweed gymnastics, about a year and a half ago, you started yet another job. Let's hear about that.
So in September of last year, 2025, prior to that, I just started feeling like I wanted to do more. So I started looking at my Indeed profile, updating stuff, and this job pops up for sports editor for the Sullivan County Democrat. And it took me a couple days to apply. Because I said, let me tweak my resume. Do I really want to do this? And so after about 2 and 3 days, I finally submitted my resume. And within a day or so, I had heard back and I went in for an interview. And by the time I had gotten home, I got a call from the publisher, from Fred Stavert, and he said, we would love to have you on the team.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
You're magic.
You know, at the time when I accepted it, I very early on, I said, I'm going to take a break from acting. So I kind of did. I only did one show. you know, just because I didn't want to, you know, juggle. And I said, okay, so I took a step back for about a year. And now, fast forward a year and a half later, I'm doing like four shows. So it was the break was short lived.
So what are some of the projects that you're working on?
So I just finished, just did a gala in April last month. It was so much fun. We did a piece from Chekhov called He and She. It was phenomenal with Chris Bedito and River Rep Theater. In June, coming up in a couple weeks, we'll be doing Never Ending Story at River Rep in Lake Huntington, which is exciting because that's something that I grew up watching the film as a child. So when they first sent me the script, I said, I would absolutely love to do this. So that's coming up in June. I'll also be doing a performance with Oliver King for Juneteenth. And then at the end of June, I actually will be traveling for a bit. I'll be away for a while doing the period piece I spoke about in Boston.
Oh.
It's a summer stock theater for about
really?
6 weeks. 6 weeks,
What's the name of the theater and what's the name of the show you're doing?
The name of the production company is Clockjack Productions. The name of the theater is Old Sturbridge, and it's in Massachusetts. And it's like a village where they do and all these period productions.
Oh, yes. I've
yes,
been there.
Yes. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Yes, so I'll be doing some summer stock theater there.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm really, really excited. This will be the second time I worked with the director, PJ Griffith, and he sent me an email maybe around in March or something like that and said, we would love to have you do this, read the script. And I agreed.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. Well, Crystal, you don't have a website, but if anybody wants to find out what you're doing, where you are, whatever, all they have to do is Google Crystal Tweed. And then you're going to pop up all over the place, right?
Yes. I'm everywhere. I am active on both Facebook and Instagram. Just type in my name. I go by my regular name because I want people to find me.
Yes.
And I post everything, performances coming up and things like that. So anyone can connect with me on my social media accounts.
Okay, fantastic. Oh, it's been so wonderful talking with you today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you again for having me, Donna. It was lovely.
This has been Catskill Character on Radio Catskill with today's guest, actor Crystal Tweed. Crystal is an ensemble member of the River Rep Theater Company. She will be appearing in their production of The Neverending Story, directed by artistic director Christopher Pedito, opening June 13th at the Delaware Valley Opera Center in Lake Huntington, New York. For ticket information, go to riverrep.org. Catskill Character is on every Saturday of the month at 11:30. Please join us then for more stories from fabulous characters of the Catskills and beyond. I'm Donna Fellenberg. Thanks so much for listening to Catskill Character on Radio Catskill.
Last week on Wait, Wait, legendary anchorman Ron Burgundy reminisced about good times with our legendary anchorman, Bill Curtis.
Bill and I, Walter Cronkite, Angie Dickinson, and a flamethrower down at the dog track in Tijuana.
Oh, wow. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll find out what Mischief composer and EGOT winner Bobby Lopez got up to with Bill when he joins us for this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
So here's the deal. Public radio is now operating without federal funding, and your support matters more than ever. One way to help is to donate that car, truck, or old motorcycle in your driveway. You clear out some space and help keep trusted news coverage alive in your community. The process? Simple, free, even tax deductible. Just head to this station's website and help us keep this work going together.
Donate your car, boat, or motorcycle at wjffradio.org.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, Ada Limón. Limón served two terms as United States Poet Laureate. She'll talk about the ways in which art can heal and connect us. It's the subject of her new book, Against Breaking, on the Power of Poetry. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures, here on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, Radio Catskill.